This is Freedom. He couldn't make it tonight, but I'd like to ask him his predictions for the coming year, since this is the last show before 2012 occurs. Do you have any outright predictions for this coming year?
Well, first of all, I think the anarchist parade on New Year's will probably be hassled by the police because the police were embarrassed at 75 River when they had to ask permission to leave.
Yeah, and that's the Saturday, New Year's Eve. Where do you think it'll occur? Right on the street or in the side streets or, you know, afterwards? What?
Well, the usual place. I have no idea. I have nothing to do with the steering wheel. I also predict that it will continue to be a problem to get in and out of the Free Radio studio since we have no seat in the anarchist meeting that controls that house. We are at the bottom of the hierarchy there.
Yeah, but that's our Free Radio itself. As far as DIY goes, it's do-it-yourself. That's another set of anarchists, and we don't know how they've been operating and if they've planned this very well because it's secretive this year. They say they've been occupying the last night of the year for 10 years or more, or at least five. So what other kind of predictions are going to occur next year? Is it true that you have some astrological notions?
I'm working on that. I'll probably be covering it in future shows. I'm going to be looking at 2012, the biblical prophecies around it, on my next show next week.
Thank you, Freedom. See you then.
I'm from Santa Cruz. I'm from the Occupy in Santa Cruz. And I have no job. I have no health care. And I sleep on my mother's couch, and I don't have anything left to lose anymore.
So it means the planet has been changed for good, more or less, so for the next 50,000 years, when the next ice age is due, already by human action.
More greenhouse gases were dumped into the planet Earth's atmosphere than in any year in history.
In 2010, was 7,000 pounds of fruits and vegetables on a tenth of an acre garden.
Environment, peak oil, action, transition. Radio EcoShock. We cover your world. That's Radio EcoShock right here on FRSC 101.1 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz, every Friday at 1 p.m. Tune in.
And welcome to Bathrop Spears Broadsides. That's the December 27, 2012 edition. I'm Robert Norris. Be with you for the next 2 hours. I don't know if that prediction was a year old or this year. Looking at the... it's supposed to be this year. I don't know. Police didn't bother the... DIY Last Night Parade, which happens every New Year's Eve around 5:30, starting at the right across from the Sub Rosa in, I guess, what is now the Walgreens parking lot. Used to be the Federal Express Kinko's parking lot. And it went off uneventfully without much police harassment at all that I'm aware of. There was a little... People seemed to be scurrying to get... To get home. There was, in the past, a lot of kind of, there were some events that would happen. There were pillow fights, and there were sort of musical occupation events in the middle of the street down by the Cinema 9, and I don't think much of that happened last year. I don't know what is likely to happen this year. There's been, actually, what was a positive editorial in the Santa Cruz Sentinel about the DIY parade and why it doesn't look for permits, which I think was... it wasn't an editorial by the Sentinel staff, but it was an editorial in the Sentinel, and that was kind of interesting. I referred to it in my last show, but I don't think I actually read it, and I may do that this time. And before I do, let's hear a little Ani DeFranco, and I'll be right back. Don't go away. Call-in number here is 427-3772, 427-3772. This is Free Radio, Santa Cruz, 101.3 FM. You can catch our stream by going to our website and clicking on the red dot in the middle of the big antenna in case you want to find us on the stream. So Do that if you'd like, and call in if you have some news or some thoughts or some questions. If you want to catch me off air, the number is 423-HUFF, 423-4833, 423. HUFF is an abbreviation for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, a civil rights please group in Santa Cruz, and sometimes not so courteous please, because we don't have to ask for civil rights, we have to take them, unfortunately. That's how it has to happen, usually and historically. Stay tuned, call in, and I'll be back. And that was Annie DeFranco, Emancipate, from her CD Red Letter Year. So, I was talking about the DIY parade, and the really the Sentinel has been strangely silent, or maybe the police department has been strangely silent about this. Last year there was numerous statements from Vice Chief Clark, or as a deputy chief, I never clear on that. There was statements from Kathy Agnew and the staff person, I believe, who's in charge of the permit process, bemoaning and denouncing the parade people for not getting a permit. This year, there's a guest editorial by Liz Birchfield. DIY Parade celebrates what community can do for itself in the Sentinel. And it's a good editorial. I recommend you check it out online if you have a computer, or it's in the December 22nd edition, which might actually be the 23rd, since they sometimes usually print it a day early online. It's so good, I may actually send it out on the Huff email list, which, if anybody's interested, you can get a Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom email subscription, if you will, free. Subscription's a fancy word for we put you on the list and it doesn't cost you anything. We're also working on, by the way, on setting up a blog. But the list itself sends out locally pertinent homeless civil rights articles, updates, announcements, protest descriptions, and also directs you to where to go if we're having one. Some of us who are having those protests. The Huff website, huffsantacruz.org, is being updated, and we're now trying to provide a blog where people can actually engage in discussion and debate. Even the trolls who haunt the Indie Bay and particularly are notorious on the Sentinel's Topics comment website are invited to spill their bile, if you will, but hopefully contribute to a good discussion or debate. One of the things that's interesting about the DIY Parade article by Liz this year is that there are no critical comments whatsoever on this comment section, the Topics Sentinel comment section that follows the story. And this is very unusual. I mean, usually it's filled with hostility to homeless people, attacks on activists, personal denunciations of an ad hominem comments about me, Becky Johnson, and other longtime homeless activists. Here there's nothing. The substance of the article is very interesting, but the main point she makes, I mean, it's well put, and I'll just read it. On New Year's Eve, as it has for the past 7 years, Santa Cruz will again host the Last Night DIY New Year's Parade, an event with a long history as a homespun, family-friendly alternative celebration. Despite city attempts to portray it as dangerous and irresponsible, the do-it-yourself parade invites families, friends, and lovers to help create a community celebration. Bring bikes and costumes, unicycles and musical instruments, drums and banners, noise makers to bring in the new year. Every year since 2005, thousands have participated in the DIY celebration, which is constantly peaceful, creative, and fun. However, because of its lack of official sanction, the civic leaders have opposed the celebration from the beginning. The community-organized event has survived police infiltration of planning meetings, official condemnation, targeting of plannings and individuals, and frequent comparison to events that resulted in violence and vandalism. After 8 years, the celebration, however, has enjoyed a spotless record. But why don't parade organizers buckle down and get a permit from the city? The decision to skip the permit process is a deliberate one. First, there is no one person or group to get the permit. The celebration is decentralized. There is no central committee or board of directors. No one is in charge, but we are all leaders. The parade is collectively organized as a community, which simply means we all do it together. Second, beyond the barrier of the city's arduous and prohibitively expensive special event permit, the permit process itself is a racket, a way for the city to charge us for the privilege of exercising our rights to free speech and free assembly. Third, from the beginning, the celebration focused on personal responsibility. There is no place in the city's permit process for spontaneous collective organizing in which people take responsibility for themselves and their community. Rather, a permit makes one person or group responsible for the actions of others and obligates them to put controls on other people. With the last night DIY parade, no one is in a position to restrict who can participate or in what way. People simply show up, prepared to take part responsibly in a citywide celebration. According to the Last Night DIY website, the parade, from its beginnings in 2005, was not about merely celebrating, but celebrating what we as a community can do ourselves without corporate or city sponsorship. It is a celebration of both our autonomy and the support we offer each other. In 2005, Santa Cruz police, threatened by the specter of community organizing, made national news after they were discovered infiltrating the parade planning group and profiling individuals. A public outcry and help from the Northern California ACLU put in place rules to severely restrict local surveillance operations of community groups. Unfortunately, that's not true, really. They were very weak, didn't in any way even rise to the San Francisco standard, and that's unfortunate. But there was significant publicity around that event, and it did expose the fact that the entire city bureaucracy, from the city manager on down, had no problem with the infiltration of the political surveillance and infiltration of an event that was peaceful. And moreover, the investigation of that event by the very people who infiltrated it, the same individual who headed the expedition, now Chief Vogel, then I believe he was a lieutenant, investigated himself. It was a really a kind of, it would be amusing if it weren't the fact that it was chilling and was kind of a harbinger of things to come. When police and civic leaders try to frighten us with the specter of downtown violence, we want to participate in a communal event celebration with our neighbors. Civic leaders should be embarrassed to oppose a peaceful community event. We are tired of being afraid. It's time to get outside, talk to one another, and organize together. This year, on New Year's Eve, the DIY parade will meet at 5 p.m. near the Saturn Cafe parking lot on Pacific Avenue and Spruce Street. For more information, event flyers, check out lastnightdiy.org. And I added a comment of my own here, and so did a few other people. Another reason that I wouldn't even advise getting a permit, but, and maybe a good reason not to get a permit, is that other events, such as the Halloween get-together where the streets are crammed, doesn't require a permit. Similarly, the New Year's Eve nighttime celebration that follows later, which is a march to the town clock and an event there, doesn't have a permit. But this one smaller group does is constantly criticized by the city bureaucrats for not getting a permit, and has three individuals have actually gotten citations for walking in a parade without a permit, Wes Modes and two others. And Modes went to trial for this. And the city attorney actually took special pains to prosecute the case and secure a conviction for walking in the parade without the permit. And it's... It makes one kind of abashed to even look at the spectacle of what they're doing there, what they did, and really upset people who in some respects are very conservative, like Bob LaMonica, who has talked about this issue on my show and others, and stormed into ACLU meetings and denounced them for not taking a strong stand on this, particularly Mike Rutkin, the former mayor and board of directors member of the ACLU, high-profile figure. So differential treatment is one reason why getting a permit shouldn't be required. The other thing I notice is that we've had an increasing restriction on public spaces all year round. I mean, there have been curfews set up in various places, I've mentioned many a time, around the library, around the city hall, around the county building, around the courts, around the levee and the parks, although that's one of longer standing. And this is a way of, it's actually being used to go after homeless people and drive them deeper into the bushes or drive them deeper into hiding or out of town if possible, I think is the real objective. But it has the impact of impacting everyone, of actually having a bad effect on the entire community, of making public space inaccessible to the entire community, and done without any real public process at all, done behind closed doors, based upon an obscure ordinance passed in about 7 or 8 years ago by the city council that gives authority to the head of the Parks and Rec Department, Dennett Shoemaker, to do this simply by decree. It's sort of like you're living in Mubarak's Egypt or something, or a Masri's Egypt, if you believe him to be a sort of a new 2012 or 2013 Mubarak. That is another reason, I think, that opening up public space on New Year's Eve by the community, you don't ask for permission to assert your rights. You simply assert them. And the kinds of concerns and complaints made by those in the past, perhaps they realize, those who are making them, that it's a pretty hollow, or they've got other homeless people to fry. They don't make them on this website. Again, that's Liz Birchfield. DIY Parade celebrates what community can do for itself. And it's on the Santa Cruz Sentinel's website. The most viewed article, however, does show bigotry run rampant as ever in the comments section. And also, I would suspect in the main story as well. It's about a guy called Winston Churchill, not the former prime minister, and hater of Gandhi and a famous British imperialist, and also considered by many a great war hero. Winston Churchill arrested twice in 24 hours in Santa Cruz. This is an article that talks about a guy who was arrested in a Pacific Avenue coffee shop. Winston Arthur Churchill, 47, arrested on suspicion of a slew of charges after he assaulted an employee and a customer at Verve Coffee Roasters on Monday. The night before, he was arrested after twice refusing to leave the business and causing a disturbance there. Churchill returned to the coffee shop Monday afternoon and wanted to use the bathroom. Deputy Chief Steve Clark said there's a warning signal even right there. Clark is notoriously hostile to homeless people and to poor people. He wanted to use the bathroom. The employee recognized Churchill from the previous night and tried to stop him from going back to the restrooms. An altercation ensued, and a customer went to check on the employee. The customer told police that he found the two men in the bathroom where Churchill was trying to choke the employee using the necktie the man was wearing. The customer intervened, and Churchill headbutted him and elbowed him in the ribs. Eventually, the customer and the employee were able to tackle Churchill and hold him on the ground until police arrived. Churchill was arrested on suspicion of felony assault, or perhaps peeing without permission. Sorry, that's my addition. And misdemeanors for trespassing and battery. He was booked into county jail, where he remained Wednesday in lieu of $25,000 bail. The day before he allegedly attacked the employee, Churchill was escorted from the business by police officers and told not to return. We don't say what that was for, of course. Maybe he tried to use the bathroom then as well and was told, no, you can't. He ignored their order and went back, causing a disturbance. That is to say, he was blocked by the employee from going to the bathroom, and a disturbance ensued. Some people get pissed when you try to stop them from pissing. They somehow feel that you're treating them as less than a human being. I don't know where they get that idea. He was then arrested on suspicion of misdemeanor trespassing. Churchill was also arrested on December 18th at the Homeless Services Center on suspicion of refusing to leave a public building and battery, police records show. Again, not really clear what this was about. And there's just a whole slew of hostile comments. Thank you, Don Lane, for filling our town with dangerous transients. The way I see it, the minute a person chokes one person out and with a necktie and headbutts another, all of us have a right to know something. The most sympathetic comments don't consider what to me is the obvious question. And I know a bit about Verve because I've been in there. Initially, they were very friendly with their restrooms. Maybe they developed some problems. When I went in there and tried to use the restroom 3 or 4 months ago, and I hadn't bought anything at the moment, I was told, no, I can't, because we only allow customers to use restrooms. And I know I didn't want to get into this discussion. I said yesterday I was a customer. Tomorrow I'll probably be a customer. Right now I'm not. And other people haven't had that problem at Verve, so I want to be fair to them. But this is a problem around town. I mean, there are three bathrooms now that are open during the day that are so-called visitor bathrooms, though only two of them, as far as I know, are accessible to me and a number of other activists who have been banned from the bookshop Santa Cruz for the last 17 years by the Coonerty family for essentially political protests against their anti-homeless legislative activity. And this is before the time of the son, Ryan Coonerty. It was back in the days of Neil Coonerty when he was actually mayor and on the city council and led the charge for the downtown ordinances that are now used to harass people under the eaves of buildings in the rain and musicians who are performing and told to move along. So the bathroom deficiency at night, of course, is total. There is no bathrooms open at night, with the exception of the Homeless Lack of Services Center bathroom on the very edge of town off by Highway 1 and Highway 9 on Coral Street. So it's a phony kind of commentary to say that, oh, you know, they're peeing and pooing around here. Or even, you know, they're getting mad when they can't use the bathrooms. I think anybody listening to the show, it would be a little upset if they weren't allowed to use a bathroom when they need to. And it's true. You know, we have private property. This is capitalism. Businesses do have to make choices. If they know someone is being abusive, that's something. And businesses downtown have developed, many of them, a hostile attitude toward homeless people generally. And not because of specific misuse necessarily of the bathrooms, but just a sort of a growing kind of prejudice that seems to be spreading like some kind of black plague. Anyway, there are a lot of comments on this story about Winston Churchill and his $25,000 bail for a bathroom crime. Admittedly, the crime is assault. And, you know, I could be completely wrong. Maybe he's just, a violent guy who, for no reason whatsoever, came in and started beating up or harassing or causing problems at Verve and was properly excluded. Or maybe Verve did what it has done to a few people, or at least what it did to me, and said, you can't use the bathroom. The most sympathetic comments are, oh, he must have had a mental problem. You need a mental hospital. That's the problem. He was off his medications. We have to be sympathetic. I find this line disturbing because, again, it tends to demean the person involved and also to suggest that they need some kind of authority over them to keep them in line and help them out in some sense. When, in fact, the people that need the helping out are the people who are maintaining a bigoted system of lack of access to public facilities. That's my thought. Again, I've had this feeling for a long time. I raise the issue a lot, and I'm sure in some cases it's not the case that other things are actually relevant here. I put up a comment myself. Could it be that this guy was trying to use the bathroom and got told that homeless people don't have that right in Santa Cruz? And for some very strange reason, that upset him. Oops, sorry. This then upset the bum, the transient, the drug user, prompting this unusual behavior that none of us would feel or do, of course. Dogs, Chinese, and Jews, and homeless need to know their place. That's what I wrote. Somewhat pissed off at the whole bunch of... I've lived here all my life, and I was 10 years old, and I worked in a donut shop, and I let homeless people hang out there. One night I counted 27. I thought it was funny until I realized that most of them are not nice people. That's Mark Herbert's comment. Just a lot of abusive stuff. And I get criticized for the comment. Santa Cruz Local writes, if I was told I was not allowed to use the restroom at an establishment, I would leave and never go to that establishment again. Stop making excuses for people's bad behavior. Yeah, but you'd also go home and have a place you could actually go to the bathroom, wouldn't you, Santa Cruz Local? I would assume. Robert writes, Brian Anderson, what I admire in you is your unrelentlessness commitment, I'm quoting, to your cause, as I cannot imagine any financial gains for your efforts. However, it seems you did not read or internalize any of the comment written before your entry. You kind of accuse everyone of being wrong As you keep on going your way, it only pushes those with some sympathy toward the more punitive solution. And if there was a city more accepting to the homeless, why are there so many here? Because it's a beach town. Because it's a town where people have a lot of connections. Because, like Santa Monica and Ventura and Santa Barbara and Venice and Arcata and San Francisco, it's like a lot of towns along the coast. The climate is nice. People have a sort of, there's been a liberal tradition in the past, a liberal community, and people have established connections. And that is just what's happened. The fact that does nothing to say about the, it really kind of is a sad commentary on what we've got now in Santa Cruz. And Carl Bendix writes, but that is how it's done these days. Anyway, so that's the story, and it's actually the top story, as far as the top read story on the most viewed story on the Santa Cruz Sentinel website. So, call-in number again is 427-3772. I'm now going to play some audio, some tape from the Linda LeMaster Benefit Concert. And that wasn't a concert. It was a benefit. Actually, it had mostly speakers. It might have had a little music, but I think it was mostly, I think it was almost all speakers. And this was something that was held at the India Joe's restaurant a couple weeks ago to garner support for Lighthouse Linda LeMaster, who I've talked about extensively in the past. She was ultimately sentenced to 59 hours of community service for the crime of peaceful political protest and supporting a political protester on the steps of the courthouse 2 years ago. And the district attorney's office relentlessly has pursued her for 2 years on this, along with, it's actually been pretty relentless in pursuing others, too. 647E has been the charge they've used, which is a vague law from ancient times, kind of an anti-loitering law. Actually, that's how it's described when you call the courts and ask what 647E is. They'll tell you it's an anti-loitering law. And actually, their anti-loitering laws are all thrown out as unconstitutional, so you wonder what they're doing with that. But it's the wording is it's an anti-lodging law, which means, in theory, it has some merit. I mean, you could be, it's a way of evicting someone from a place where they're setting up a household in a place they're not entitled to do so. However, a political protest, particularly a person who is coming there for one night, is not setting up a household. And yet, Linda was smeared with that particular tar brush by the district attorneys who prosecuted her because of her political protest and because of the determination, I think, of the courts. And again, I don't know. I can't tell what their motives are. I wonder if it isn't the determination of the courts not to have people protesting at their doorstep, even though you would have learned in school that's a traditional right of Americans to do such things, provided they don't block the business, provided they don't engage in other crimes. But Linda was not accused of any kind of real criminal behavior, but she still was convicted of misdemeanor trespass, or actually misdemeanor 647E lodging. Nowadays, if you tried to do it today, what she